Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Beers and Breakeven. It's been a big 24 hours. Just got off the plane, ready to rip in. Timothy, what's doing?
Mate, you're lacking a bit of gusto coming to this one.
Yeah, no, I'll find my way. I've just got to work my way into the game, get an early touch, maybe make a tackle first in my career. Might get me back into it.
Yeah, Leo Messi was notorious for just eyeing off the opposition in the first 5-10 minutes of games, never really had many touches. He just assessed the situation and just came home strong, as we know, to be one of the best players of all time. I feel like you're going to do similar on this podcast. You're going to start slow. Get your feeling, get your vibe, then you're going to go bang. And finish. It's like the biggest podcast of the year, mate.
Which NRL team did he play for?
Knights. Blue and red.
Oh, good. Kathmandu, my little silent MVP whilst I was in the US of A, just quietly doing a lot of overs for me. What's doing?
Yeah, I had a bit of FOMO there. I was being sent content saying post this at this time, that time, whatever, which obviously, you know, more than happy to do, but I did have a bit of FOMO watching those videos. But it looked like you had a great time and hopefully the start of many more trips to Vegas.
Yeah, for those at home, it was unbelievable. It was sensational. I will definitely be going back next year. It was a huge success over there. The vibe of it was just off its head, eh? Obviously, a lot of Aussies there, but, like, mate, the amount of Americans that were there was crazy. The amount of English people that were there, there was fucking Super League jerseys everywhere. Like, I reckon for every 4 NRL jerseys, there was a Super League jersey. It was insane how many there were. I'd love to see the World Club Challenge there next year. I reckon that'd be good gear.
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Any standout moments from the trip, mate?
I had a little moment at the roulette table where I was going to do this whole content piece with Hammy about betting on number 11 for Siwa Wong. And I was standing there and I said, Hammy, you know, get out your phone. I'll say this. We'll do that. I'll do the Luke Cavell spirit fingers to Ella, who was standing in front of me. And as we're getting ready for it all, preparing for it, what do you reckon comes up on roulette?
You're kidding.
Siwa Wong's number 11. Oh. So thankfully I hate money and it's overrated, so it didn't impact me that much. But that was pretty depressing, I'm not going to lie.
So the Wong curse cost you all that money in the casinos in Vegas and then copped an injury and weren't off early in the actual game.
Yeah, it was tough.
One of your OG CBAs let you down twice in one weekend, mate.
Yeah, we'll talk about him soon, but my God, you could see the pedigree in that first 30 minutes. He's really good. Absolute weapon. And even just watching them at their captain's run the other day, like I was lucky enough to watch, I think, 3 of their captain's runs over the weekend. And, mate, just some of the size of some of these humans, unbelievable. And he's one that he stands out. Terrell May, he's an absolute MF. He is huge. Could not believe the size of him. Tommy Turbo just up close in full flight. I'm sure, you know, it would have come across the other night on TV, but just watching him at the captain's run, mate, he's supremely confident at the moment. You can tell nothing's holding him back right now.
I'm very excited to get at the Tommy Turbo chat. Before we do get stuck into it, mate, I sort of knew this and have known for a long time, pretty much since the day I met you, but, no, I sort of reiterate it to our listeners, and it's that I carry you with your team, your trade, everything. Mate, you leave me for 1 week and you screw your team up and forget to trade out Xavier Willison, who didn't even play on the weekend. Mate, you're gone for a week and you lose your pot.
Yeah, that was a bed shit on my behalf. I was having a little bit too much fun in Vegas. And you know what? I thought about it all week in the lead up to it. I thought, if I have to be aware of that, I have to be aware of it. I even had a group chat that someone said Willison out and I liked it and thought I'll do it in a second. Then Vegas just swallowed me up and spat me out. And I got to halftime and then looked at my phone and went, fuck.
Fortunately, mate, you're back in the centre of excellence and, you know, daddy's here. I'll fix your team, mate. It's all good.
I tell you what, when I realised, I was like, fuck, that's a bed shit. Like, I didn't have the reserve on him or anything. Thank God I didn't, because I probably won't have a hooker this week. So if I would have had two positions out, that would have really sucked. But, mate, as the game went on and I was watching the Brisbane bench, I was like, fuck, I reckon he'll be in there within a few weeks. Surely.
Rue, less than ideal. However, nobody can find a decent fourth front row forward at the moment.
Yeah.
If you'd missed out, like if team list came out last night or yesterday afternoon, I should say, and there was a standout one and you'd gone, I've missed out on that because I forgot to trade Willison out, you'd be filthy. Everyone's in the same boat. And whoever their fourth front row forward cheap is, there's going to be huge job concerns with. Wouldn't surprise me if he was playing off the bench for him this week.
And, mate, that's where I remember talking to a lot of people in Vegas the day after I put on Instagram that I did it, and a lot of people came up to me and said, fuck, I took Willison out and bring Spencer Lenu in.
Yeah.
And then now they're sitting there going, yeah, I'd probably rather Willison. Yeah. I'm going, oh, fuck, I'd rather Willison for sure.
It might work out all right for you.
Yeah, I don't think it'll it won't be as bad as I deserve.
Yeah, correct. Well, yes. Well put.
So, yeah, we'll take that. Obviously, you know, Spencer Lenu, the judiciary, is going to come down later this week, I assume. We haven't got any word now.
I'm not exactly sure when, but...
Yeah, they obviously don't have a game for 10 more days. So, shout out to Ezra Mam too. Obviously, that was all fucked. It was big over there in Vegas. A lot of chat.
Yeah.
Imagine it was all huge here.
All happening, mate.
Yeah. So stamp that out of our game, that sort of crap. Mate, where do you want to start? What do we want to do?
Do we just get into the deep and the dirty, the team list, straight into the business end of it?
Yeah. Actually, just before that, just because I haven't even spoken to you about those Vegas games and what you took
it's
from
good.
It.
We spend way too much time with each other during the week, and we're talking Supercoach and everything. We have not really been in touch in the last week, so I'll be basically picking your team as we go here.
All right. Manly, 36 over the Bunnies, 24. Mate, Olakau'atu absolutely brained it in that game. A guy that I started with in round one last year, I think he scored a try in the first 2 weeks and scored 50, and I eventually went, fuck this, I'm not doing it. Watching him there the other night, my God, he's a monster.
Yeah, what stood out was just how good a shape that those Manly boys were in, and he was the standout in, like, he looks so fit and healthy at the moment. You know, at such a big price tag with all these mid-range 2RFs that we're preaching and picking, you know, I can't see myself owning him anytime soon, but there's every chance that Olakau'atu, I really do think this, I'm not saying it'll happen, but could go to those elite levels of 2RF this season. Maybe not quite to Dave Fifita, but he could be like a clear standout second pick at 2RF this year if he can keep up as good as he looked on the weekend.
Yeah, he's got the potential to be able to do it, doesn't he? It's my concern with Olakau'atu is doing it over 25 weeks straight. But all the pedigrees there. Speaking of back rows for Manly, Burbo, I thought he looked unreal. Met Burbo on the Tuesday. I shook his hand. I just can't feel my hand still. Another one that's a big bit of gear. Lovely fella. Mate, I loved... Obviously, he got through a heap of work in the first half and whatnot, but I love the way that he scored his try where they ran him out the back of the center. Fucking froth that for Supercoach, especially on that edge that Turbo goes down.
Did you play him?
Yeah, of course I played him.
Yeah. Well done.
Guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
The rook. The rook went full rook.
Love this.
And do you know what? I had some DMs because I revealed my team due to popular demand. And I had Burbo on the bench and I hadn't selected him as a reserve. And I had a few people say, hey, you should really put Burbo ahead of Smithies, blah, blah, blah. It was too late. The teams were locked. Or those players were locked. And I have benched Burbo round zero.
Wow.
And he was an inch from another try and it would have been 100.
Yeah.
I also benched Gagai. So great start for the
However,
rook.
However, the rook again in full rook mode. Dodged Piakura.
Well, you didn't pick him at all?
No.
I don't mind that. I reckon he's going to be a serious headache.
Why?
I don't know. He's always one of those guys that I've watched over the last few years and he's obviously supremely talented, but it always feels like there's something going on. I question if he doesn't score a try how he's going to go too. But at that price, sure.
Mate, I've seen a lot of people and a lot of questions out there about selling Pia Kura, and I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
You can't sell him now. Yeah.
You picked up this bloke at a very cheap price based on ability and he's great buy all preseason. He didn't leave my team. And then all of a sudden he's – I think they came out and said it might have been Kevin Walter saying he's doing well, he's all there, like no sort of lingering concussion symptoms. So it's right on the line of that, I think, the 11-day concussion protocol. But yeah. Sounds like he'll probably play that next game, even if he didn't. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's also, and I'm sure you spoke about him on Playbook the other night, but round one is the most irrelevant round of them all.
Yeah, especially
for a range
Vegas.
Of reasons. Yeah. So, no, I mean, I've got him. There's not a hope in hell I'd even consider selling him. That is wild. Mate, anyone else stood out for you from that game? Obviously, Turbo brained it. Ruben Garrick at centre. I know he scored really well. I thought he looked a little bit uncomfortable out there at centre. I'm not sure if it's his position. I think he was very lucky. He was going up against, what's his face, Kenner, and he gave him a bath, but I'm still not convinced he's a centre.
Me either. I think he will do a more than fine job there because he's a good footballer and he spent most of his time, you know, coming through the grades, fullback, wing. You know, it's a big shift to go to centre. The defensive read to the wing is completely different and, you know, he got found out a little bit. He's a good enough footballer, he'll make a fist of it. Well, you know, we've said for a while we think he's a winger and just stay there. Tell you what, with Saab out long term, if he shifts to the left wing with how good Manly looked, with how good Tom Turbo looked, holy moly. He could average 80 plus again.
I was talking to some people at Manly's captain run. I was told that Talau's been told he's not a centre anymore, he's a winger. So, yeah, I think Tommy Talau will land on the wing. That's what I've been told, but...
Yeah,
good. We'll see how that plays out.
Huge from the cheapy prospects though. Talau, fucking oath. If he lobs on that wing,
and mate, I thought the trial the other day looked unreal too. So we'll see how that plays out, mate. Brooksy, I thought he was sensational. It's probably my moment of the weekend watching Brooksy score that try. Yeah. Just happened to see Brooksy a lot over the week. Just walking around, had his family with him. I think his daughter with him and stuff, and just smiling all week. Happy as Larry, captain's run. He was up, bouncing around, enjoying himself. To see him score that try, it was the moment of the week for me. I absolutely loved it. I think he ended up on like a 60, 65.
He downgraded to about 59, but...
Okay, even more so to my point.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could have done much more in that game, realistically.
The thing is, you know, eye test, he passed it. He looked great. He had the inside ball for Tommy where Tommy was a whisker from scoring. That would have been try assist, line assist. He also dropped one over the line.
Yeah.
He was 3 inches from going 100 plus. I'm aware that he was also one play away from being 25 points in an impressive game, but I thought all the signs for Luke Brooks were great. I'm not going to rush to bring him in. I think if owners out there that did buy him, I think they'd be very pleased.
Yeah, I'm sort of I think rugby league, he was fantastic. I think Supercoach, though, to have that sort of a game when your team scores 36, you only score 59 points, I'm happy to leave him. Mm. I think this will be more of the same for him. Anyone else that jumped out to you there, mate? Obviously, Sean Kepi, 41, sort of exactly what we expected. Jai Arrow went down to 39. Did any of us start with Jai Arrow?
I couldn't go near him with the four forward bench. I was keen on him. Then as soon as the four forward bench was named, I'm like, I can't see him getting more than 60 minutes. So dodged him. I wouldn't say dodged Kepi because 41 in 40 minutes is fine. There were no offloads there. So if you can add some offloads to his game, it's okay. But I mean, I was never really keen on Kepi in the first place.
Yeah, I think 41 from Kepi is exactly what you
I wouldn't panic like. Sell Arrow or Kepi. I'll be giving them another round. But you'll see how you go by round three because they could be sells.
Last guy here, Jacob Gagai, obviously scored a try, did very well. Kathmandu, you've got him?
I have him and it's the same story with Burbo. Didn't make him a reserve. So I won't benefit
right
from his... Yeah, I mean, look, like no one expected or knew that he would score on debut.
Yeah.
But what a great story. Supercoach aside, I love the story.
I know he actually was quite impressive. I think it would have made no sense to play him. Mm. So I think he made the right call. He scored well, so be it, but it was a dangerous play.
What do we think about him? The reason why I didn't go him is because I'm not sure if he's there week four onwards. That's my big worry with him. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts haven't changed. I said I thought he was relatively impressive. At the end of the day, though, the Bunnies did get beaten relatively easy in the end. I think Kenner will be the first man to go when Jackie Whiten comes back.
Yep.
He'll slot in at centre. And then I think it probably just becomes a case of when does Ty Munro return? How does Gagai go next week? Can he get enough games in to make enough cash in the meantime? Because there's also Isaac Thompson. There's also Tane Milne. I'm just more than happy to wait, watch him play second week. If he can score well again, I'll consider him for that third game. But my opinion hasn't changed too much.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing you need to keep in mind is that Isaac Thompson wasn't able to go to America. Exactly. So you don't know if Gagai's actually ahead of him in the pecking order or not. Based on what I've seen, I would have Isaac Thompson ahead of him personally.
As would I. So as I said, let's see. If he comes out brains the next game, we'll go from there.
I think similar story. I always saw him as someone – he was a bit of a filler, if I'm honest. And I kind of like – you know, once again, having a player that you're going to enjoy watching. So I chucked him on there. I didn't expect that result from him, but he's one that I probably see myself getting rid of early on.
Yeah. I think the last thing that I took from that game, mate, I was so excited to see the left edge back row for South Sydney not be a fucking decoy for the first time ever and see Keon able to play a bit of footy out there. Mm. That is super exciting. If I'm defending against them now, I'm going, oh, for fuck's sake, it's all changes now.
Turns out Keon has a terrific right-to-left passing game.
Not bad, eh?
Just when you think that edge, like I was with you when Keon got moved to the left, I'm like, oh, I see what they're doing, sort of they're getting arrow with Lachie Ilias, but Keon, who's just going to be used as a decoy, like do you really need to make the best edge in the NRL slightly better? And now I look at it and go, they don't need to go down the right at all.
At all.
They have so many different attacking shapes they can run down the left. Just play down the left and say, if you can stop us, good luck to you.
Roosters 20, Brisbane 10. Joey Manu, the star of the show here, might have been pretty vocal. My opinions about Joey that I thought the back end of last season he'd really slowed down.
He really slowed down at that specific game when he did his hammy as my captain.
That's a good point, yes. Mate, I don't know what it looked like on TV, but Joey looked fucking dynamic out there. He was incredible. Obviously got the intercept that got thrown to him, so be it, whatever. But I thought outside of that, mate, he was so damaging.
18 runs, 5 tackle breaks, 3 offloads, a stat category that doesn't go up on NRL.com or Supercoach Stats. Roaming.
Very good.
Oh, boy, you look good.
Mate, Victor Radley. 80 minutes, got through a stack of work there, 78 points. Obviously scored a meaty, but, mate, every time I looked up, he was just involved in everything, Rads.
Let's talk and put me on the spot here, mate, because I know you've been punting, you've been drinking beers, you've been working, you've been doing it all over there. You've come off a long flight. Roosters minutes pack because there are so many uncertainties. Tupanua, 43 minutes, and there hasn't been a lot come out of it, but must have gone off injured, you'd think, after 43 minutes, not necessarily. Your boy, Cyril Wong, 52 minutes, he went off injured with about 11 or 12 to go, so he looked to play around about that early 60 mark. Terrell May played 54 minutes, came on and played the rest of the game. Robbo said after the game that he couldn't take him off because he was going too well and he looked too good out there. That being said, there were injuries that influenced it. Cheese, 54 minutes. Lenu, 42 minutes. Jarboe Harry's back next week. Can you run us through your thoughts on how you see all this playing out? And is there any news on Wong and his injury?
I haven't heard a thing on Wong yet. No. No, not a thing. I know that NRL Physio's struggling to get word on that as well. I spoke to him last night. Silly Tupanua, I've got no idea about either. And, mate, minutes, because of those injuries, it made it all difficult. Yeah. I will say this, and I said it a few weeks ago about Terrell May, and I'm standing by it. I don't give a fuck how many minutes he plays.
Doesn't need him.
He doesn't matter. We need to flip our mindset with May, I think. He just needs to be – if he's on the field – it wouldn't surprise me if he plays, you know, in round two or whatever, and he plays 40 minutes and we all go, oh, but then you look at his score and he still scores 60. He's a maniac.
I was so happy with all my picks and my voids from those two games in Vegas, give or take Piakura, which nothing you can do about that. Only one I missed out on that really annoyed me was Terrell May because I had him in my team and then I think I said in last week's podcast, I avoided everyone in the pack because I had no idea on minutes or any of that. And granted, it was injury related, but Wong, fine with that, even if he plays 60, Tupanua, Cheese, etc. But Terrell May was on. I went, damn, he just, as you said, even if he plays 40 to 45, I don't think it'll matter. He'll just go harder.
Oh, mate, and I mean, like, you assume we won't see Spencer Lenu for a few weeks. JWH comes back in, sure. JWH isn't going to play 60 minutes.
No.
Like
Victor Radley's not going to play 80 minutes.
I don't think he'll play 80 minutes every week.
No way.
So, mate, I reckon Terrell May, like he could come on in the 30th and stay on for the rest of the game every week. That wouldn't shock me at all. So, yeah, I'm very confident with him. I'll tell you what, mate, the one that, like, that he wouldn't have got much attention, I assume, but watching him out there live, this winger, Junior Ponga, Palga, fuck, he gets through some work. If I was Parramatta, I'd be getting on the dog and bone immediately trying to get him over. He's incredible.
Yeah, and he's what? Dom Young to come back, Billy Smith to come back. He's like the third, fourth choice.
He might not make the Reggie's team. He should be in every other first grade team in the competition.
Yeah, he looked good, didn't he?
He looked great. I was very impressed with him. Teddy, pass mark from me. I thought Teddy looked really good. I don't know how it came across on TV, but I thought Teddy looked really good. Yep, scored a 70. I think he had a hand in one try.
Certainly had, yeah, obviously the line break try for Radley. Tries for Radley. Looked good at the value of all the fullbacks. Looks great. Ball playing didn't really look any different to me, and I still think going to need to see a lot more than that to get back in the super coach class of Walsh, Turbo, Latrell, etc., who were all like Reece Walsh was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah,
I genuinely believe and had a good chat about this on the playbook potty last night, but I think the smaller dimensions of the field, the thinner field, he was one that really, like, you just saw him running out of room when he was trying to skin blokes. It just tightened up on him that 5 metres less. He still scored 81.
Mate, I was obviously out there watching live and I was watching from the aerial. Whenever they're running that shape, they always get him on. I was watching him very closely, mate. You could see before he even got the ball, he was looking around going, fuck, there's just not enough room here. But when he did get the ball, he was absolutely electric. And then, I reckon he would have cut teams apart on a bigger field.
And then on top of that, it happens to be one of the best defensive teams in the competition in the Roosters. Like, it was hard yakka for him. Scored 81.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, one bone I want to pick with Kevvy Walters, and I can never fucking understand why he does this. When Piakura went down, I get it. You've got to make a change there.
Carrying an edge.
Why the fuck they ever moved this guy out of 13, I just don't get it. It just makes no sense to me. I have him right up there as close to the best 13 in rugby league. I think he's close to the most complete 13 in rugby league.
Yeah,
it baffles me.
I'll tell you why. I think because last year, and when he played on the edge for a few games, I think he played 80 minutes and scored a few tries and went well. It's just against softer opposition. And I do need to double check that because if it was against the Panthers and he killed it, so be it. But I'm pretty sure it was back end of the year, softer opposition, and they could get away with it. They also had Xavier Willis and they also had Tom Flegler, so they had more grunt in the middle. You can't afford to lose Pat Garrigan in your middle against a team like the Roosters, especially when you've lost Flegler for one. Yeah, no, not good.
I'll tell you a little yarn from this story that you'll enjoy. So where I was in like the media section was at the very top level of the stadium, right? And just about 2 hours before the game started, me and Hammy went up there to have a look, pressed the elevator down the bottom. The elevator took like 15 minutes to come to us, right? And the lady goes to us, oh, it takes a lot of time. You just have to be patient with them. We're like, yeah, okay, sweet. And I said to her, I go, fuck, what, do the coaches have to use this at halftime and everything? And she goes, yeah, we've given the coaches directions that they need to be ready 5 minutes before halftime to come down. And I thought, oh, fuck, that's going to go down well. That'll be interesting. I said, is that what happened in like the Super Bowl and stuff? She goes, yep. She goes, that's what happens in all games. In the Super Bowl, it was a special occasion. So what we actually did is we turned the lifts off 10 minutes before halftime to keep it at that coach's level. Oh. And I went, oh, that makes sense. But anyway.
I didn't turn them off for you?
No, it was weird and bizarre. They heard about it. Don't worry. Then just before halftime, Sammy Walker kicks the field goal. So he kicks the field goal and I go, good as gold, I'm going to go to the bathroom. So I walk out the back. Little did I know it got pulled back and then I think they ended up kicking a penalty goal, did they? I didn't see any of that or hear any of that, right? But as I'm walking to the bathroom, Trent Robinson walks past me and it's right on halftime. So he wouldn't have known about that either.
Yeah.
So he would have gone down at halftime thinking Sam Walker kicked the field goal, all good as gold. Anyway, he walks past me and I'm thinking, fuck, he hasn't come down 5 minutes before halftime. He's come down on the halftime whistle here. I don't know if he's going to get down here. And anyway, he turns the corner and he goes around to the lady standing at the lift who I'd spoken to a few times throughout that night. And I just sort of paused because I thought, I might hear Trent Robinson strangle someone here. This could be anything. And I stand there and she goes, I told you to come early. And Robbo's like, I'm not going to leave it early, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, you're in luck anyway. We turn the lifts off. So they actually stopped them and left them there for them.
So I was ready to go for them.
But had they not, there's every chance Robbo, and I'm not exaggerating, he could have missed halftime because of that. I didn't see Kevvy Walters. I don't know if he was there on the sideline. I'm not sure.
It's so Roosters to have the list.
Polite just made a call beforehand.
Yeah. That's so, great. I thought that was wild that, like in the NFL stuff, they just tell them you have to come a few minutes before. Because it's just too much happening. Mate, anyone else from that game to touch on?
Just touching on that, the minutes of all the Broncos players, Corey Jensen, prime example, don't look into the minute because Peter Kura went off so early.
Yeah.
Carrigan, who plays big minutes in the middle, went to the edge. It just changed everything for them. So we'll need another week to see what sort of minutes rotation we're looking at there for a lot of those blokes. Jesse Arthur's my boy. Really... I wasn't happy to see him named on the left edge, but I stuck by him. I think the Broncos are still going to be good. And again, eye test. He just looked great last year. 376K, finished with 60 points.
Is he in your team?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. I actually thought more people had him. And I'm hoping that Oates can come in at some stage and Arthurs ends up on the right wing. 16 runs, 60 points. I just rate him. I think he's a good footballer.
Did he score a try or anything?
He had a try assist.
Try assist, yeah, okay.
I didn't play him.
Yeah, well, 60 is a good knock. Surely Corey Oates has got to get a bait in that team somewhere.
Well, I'm thinking there is a chance that Mariner drops out. I'm hoping Arthurs goes to the right wing because I reckon it adds 15 points to his average. And Oates slots in on the left where, to my knowledge, he's played the majority of his footy on the left, Oates.
So yeah, usually, yeah.
Which would be gold.
Mariner was pretty good the other night, though, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was fine. He played well. So it may or may not happen. I'm not sure. I'm just speaking from a hopeful super coacher.
Tony Staggs, 30 points. Give me more, Katoni. Mm. I don't have him or anything, but fuck. By the way, our preseason chat on Fletcher Baker, spot on the money there, 31.
And that was with the
injuries and stuff.
Injury, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I wish I would have spent that extra 400K to get Payne Haas instead of Taylor May, instead of Terrell May. That would have been great. Shout out to you. All right, mate, should we get stuck in the team list?
Rico's bang on return from Vegas.
Thanks for coming. By the way, I know we spoke to him earlier, but Willison has got to be in this side somewhere eventually, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I'd have him in there round two. I'd bring him straight in, I think. Marty coming into the side?
Yeah.
Really also, surprised me.
I always get these few two. I literally got them confused on the podcast last night. I said Xavier Willison before in the rotation last year. I meant Keenan Palacia.
They lost Keenan Palacia?
Yeah. I meant to say Palacia was there last
year. Yeah, right. Yeah,
I meant to say,
Okay. Let's get into team list Tuesday, Thursday night, coming to you from Newcastle at 8 p.m. It's probably the most un-Thursday night game I've ever fucking seen, Newcastle and the Raiders, but we'll take it. For the Knights, Tuala snaps up that right wing spot. Tyson Gamble responsibly at 5'8". Timmy Williams at hooker. Dylan Lucas on the left edge with Kai Pierce-Paul coming off the pine. Jack Cogger in jersey 14. I think the only one that stood out to me from the extended to keep an eye on is Will Price. I've heard he's really impressed over the last 2 weeks, mate. Anything, what stood out to you from that Newcastle side, I assume, the left edge?
Yeah. There was nothing surprising in terms of Supercoach. The big one is obviously Lucas on the edge, Kai Pierce-Paul off the bench. I think that's put to line through both of them. I expect Pierce-Paul to come on and spell Dylan Lucas for a while. If anything happens where Lucas becomes an 80-minute man, happy days, he becomes an option. But I think they're stepping on each other's toes. The one I did want to touch on, and if there's any, like we did obviously a big playbook podcast last night, but missing any certain people, a lot of questions about Leo Thompson. I know you're one of his biggest fans NRL-wise.
Yeah.
Supercoach becomes different. I hadn't even looked at him, and I don't really get it, if I'm being honest. So he's 458K to start the season. He averaged 44 minutes per game last season. Like, he's not really going to improve on that. He could play less. I don't see it.
I love him NRL, but Supercoach, no.
Doesn't really offload.
He's priced it exactly where he should be.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to be. That's going to be it. So, no, thank you. Mate, I do think it'll be interesting. And just looking back at the trial the other day, maybe I'm overreading or whatever, but I noticed they had Dylan Lucas on the left when they brought Kai Pierce-Paul on. They then put Dylan Lucas on the right. I wonder if there's any sniff of Tyson Brazil going into the middle.
I did think about that.
It's just a watch and wait and see, but I reckon it's a chance to happen.
I thought very similar that could happen, in which case – you know, it's not something I'm willing to gamble on with just because he's a little bit awkwardly priced, Lucas, at 502. If we knew he was playing 80, I'd probably start him. But Yeah, a big watch.
If we had confirmation he's playing 80, I'd have him for sure. Yeah. The Durs. Rapana at fullback. Kotchik on the wing. Hopewate at centre. Savage on the wing. Ethan Strange at 5'8". Hosking, another Timmy Williams special out there on the edge. Whitehead out with this game. I assume just an injury, mate?
Yep.
Smithies at 13. Hello. Denny Level at 9. Starling at 14. The three-man forward bench. Gulak, Mariota, and Solo. What stands out for you here, mate?
Danny Levi. Yeah.
Hard pass.
I'm going to get you a little bit interested because I was... And I'll tell
Dan,
you
why, I leave it at the door, brother. No, thank you.
I'll tell you why. Because 12 hours ago, I had the exact same reaction. And I was just like, not keen on him at all. People said, mate, he's 238K. We need a cheapy hooker. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I'm just not keen. He'll share the role with Tommy Starling. Mate, you're talking about this going enough at hooker. You're going to have your gun there and Appy, and you're still on this enough idea?
I've got a different idea now. But yes, it is very similar.
Okay, but like anyone wanting to run enough, surely you pick up Danny Levi as a, you know, anywhere from 40 to 60 minute starting hooker at near bottom dollar. It has to be a better play than enough.
We'll get to my hooker very soon. Yeah. He's going to play this weekend, then jump out of the side, get your points this week, and then he'll be enough for the rest of the season. Young Luke Summerton from the Penrith Panthers, but we'll get to it soon. I'm not playing Ricky Stewart roulette with hookers of all things. You've got a squad of 30 and you've got 29 hookers down there. It's fucking unbelievable.
I'm not even saying that I'm picking Danny Levi, but, you know, we'll get to the Eels soon and the two hookers there. It's such a grim position, hence why you're picking enough.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, he's bottom dollar, he's just starting number 9.
Danny Levi, by far and away, could be the best of the shittest bunch of all time.
There'll be numerous occasions on this show where I say best of a bad bunch in cheapies because the cheapie crop's pretty ordinary and Danny Levi typifies that as a super coach number 9. He could be the best of a bad bunch.
I refuse to waste 3 trades on 3 hookers I fucking hate this year. Mm. I'm just not doing it. That you're never going to play them, you're never going to use them, they're never going to score points for you, they're never going to make enough money to be worthwhile. I think you're all going to spend 10 weeks outthinking the room at hooker and come up with absolute fucking duck eggs.
The quote of never going to score points for you. I said this last week, what happens if Abby gets a concussion round 2 and then you've got Summerton playing round 3? Oh, wait, he won't be in the team.
Yeah, sure, if that happens, I'll make the trade then. Like, I don't know, like, I checked my Instagram last night. I got 1,000 messages about which shit hooker should I run with. Mm. If they're shit, don't pick them. If you're not confident in them, don't run with them.
You do you, man.
I will. You bet your dick I will. That's not the trophy. God damn it. Fucking horse looking at me. All right. We got sidetracked there big time. Morgan Smithies, in your 17 this week?
Let me have a look.
He's definitely in mine. I think he's going to... go 50 or 60 this week.
It'll be between him and probably Tane Taupiki.
Tane Taupiki's in your side. Wow. Jesus, all of a sudden my Willison pick's not too bad. Extended bench for the Raiders. KO Weeks is there. Chevy Stewart didn't even get an invite to the party.
Ricky, speaking of throwing a bone, just pick him on the extended
bench. How fucking rough.
Give him something.
Give him something. Jersey 23.
Yeah.
All right, anything else from that? Oh, obviously, Ethan Strange, mate. No real shock there. Great to see.
Yeah.
I've always said I think he's a 5'8", not a centre. Very keen to see him run around there, especially we haven't actually seen him with Fogarty yet, have we?
No.
So unreal. Looking forward to that, for sure. He's an absolute must-have, isn't he, Strange, all things considered?
He's like the number one cheapie, I think, just about.
Yeah, completely agree. All right, Friday night, footy, 6 p.m. coming in from New Zealand. We've got the Waz taking on the Sharkies for the Waz at fullback. Timmy Williams' new favourite, Taupiki, the magician from the Burley Bears 2 years ago. Berry on the right, RTS on the left, Metcalf at 5'8", SJ back in the 7, Barnett in the front row, Egan and Lussick, 9 and 14. Anyone that was going to go for a little pod of Egan, cop that.
I actually didn't mind the pod Egan play, but that's a dagger.
Yeah, can't be doing that. With one of the great extended benches of all time. Talk to me about Taupiki.
Best of a bad bunch. Mm. Our CT dub cheapies are very, very ordinary.
His dual fullback CTW?
His dual fullback CT dub. He starts the season at 277K, not bottom dollar, but still pretty cheap. The reality is that we don't have great CT dub cheapies. And yep. I'm looking at a Warriors starting fullback who should be getting the first 3 to 4 rounds with Chance Nickel-Cookstad out injured. When Chance comes back in, Torpiki drops out of this team. He sits there as bench fodder. I'm hoping he can get, you know, 4 games in and get a few price rises where he becomes potentially a sell. But at the worst case, he'll be one injury away from coming back in as a starting fullback for a very good football team. I love him, you know, that he's obviously playing fullback and becomes a somewhat playable option in your CT dub for softer matchups. Best of a bad bunch. I'm like, where else are we sort of generating money? I don't know who else people are. Unless you're going quite strong in your CT dub, which I'm not. Yep. I've got a few half-decent players there, but I'm just filling spots.
Yeah, I hadn't opened my team since Teamless. I didn't have him in there, but I'm going to have to grab ACCW somewhere. Mm. Mate, I know we already moved off the Raiders, but is Nick Kotrick, we can't even really look at him, can we?
No, so look, Seb Chris is back next week. I expect Albert Hopewade to shift back to the wing and Kotrick to drop out of the team. Someone else could be at fullback at any point. Obviously, Chevy Stewart being one of those players. Rapana goes back to the wing.
Yeah.
Maybe Kotrick holds that spot and plays well enough, but I need to see it.
Yeah, so Topicki might be a good little shout there.
Oh, it didn't take you long, mate.
Oh, sorry, mate. I've been at 30,000 feet for the last 15 hours.
Yeah, but you told us that you were pretty much just on NRL.com the whole time.
Yeah.
It's true.
Rook, some of your finest pre-show guru. Had wife up there. The only website I could get access to was NRL.com, so I couldn't be any more prepared.
Couldn't get the Supercoach app, to be fair, but proceed.
I was 30,000 feet in the air in business class on us.
Could you get scplayable.com.au, mate, or did you not try?
Never heard of it.
Oh, please, here we go.
Got to work on those Google ads, Timmy.
Yeah. Oh, Sharkies. Hines, Nane, McInnes at 13, 4 forward bench, extended bench, Itto. Anything to coming on here?
Royce the choice.
Can't wait until we talk him up all fucking weekend. Then he plays 35 minutes. That's per fucking usual.
There's so many questions about him, and I get it. 333K, again, this fourth front row forward spot. Averaged 33 points in 25 minutes last season. So you look at that and go, he's got a great PPM, was similar the year before. And yeah, if he can turn that 25 minutes into 40 minutes, we've got a really good value player there with a bit of upside. He can bust a tackle. He can offload 4 middle forward bench with Braden Hamlin, Nuele, due back as soon as next week. He's round 2 on the NRL, on NRL.com. I don't know when he's exactly going to come back. That's what it says. 4 middle forward bench. I just don't see where the minutes are going to come from.
I love Royce. He's been a huge fan for a long time, but I just don't think the minutes are there, mate. And even when the minutes are there, he's, I don't know, he super coach wise, he just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
I think this will be a pain in the ass for people.
If he comes out the first 2 rounds and plays 45 minutes and looks great, cool, I'll buy him. He's 33K, he's easy to get to. I need to see it.
Yeah. All right, late game, Friday night. Oh, this is going to be a cracker. Melbourne Storm and the Penrith Panthers. Pappy at fullback, Meany at centre, Munster named. We'll see how that plays out. Joe Chan from the absolute clouds. Wild on the edge. Trent Lira at 13. The bench, Wishy, Welsh, Lewis and McDonald. Shout out to McDonald. I hate when the name McDonald has an A between the M and the C. I think it looks awful. That's a personal thing for me, though. Shout out to Alec. Joe Chan, I'm not sure how long he holds that spot for. Sean Bloor on the extended has me really worried. But at that price, can you walk past him?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
There's obvious job security concern. But once again, there's a lot of question marks around a lot of cheapies this year. It's a pretty ordinary crop. He's 238K, starting on the edge for the Melbourne Storm. The bench bodes well for his minutes. Tyron Wishart there, you know, he's the utility. Maybe he spells Harry Grant for a little bit at hooker. We don't know what will happen. Welch is a middle. McDonald is a middle. Chris Lewis can play edge. But am I right in saying he spent more time in the middle in recent years, or has he spent time on the edge?
I think he's just a battler that does whatever.
Yeah, so like he could slot in there and spell Chan for a little bit. But I do think there's every chance that Chen is an 80-minute man. Maybe he's a 60-minute man. Either way, I'm willing to roll the dice and back him in.
Yeah, I think just a little word of warning on Chen. He's a player with a lot of attacking upside. He's playing Penrith this week. They'll defend well. He might go a little bit lower than the average bear. Don't freak out after week one, I think. Just give him time. He's a very good player, Joe Chen. I like him.
I went through a few of his Queensland Cup stats late last night, and a lot of 80-minute games. We can obviously do it, no issues. Like, not a lot of offloading, not a lot of tackle busting. There was one random game where the East Tigers put on a big score and he had 9 tackle busts.
But I gave him a rev up before that game.
Yeah, you gave him a call. Mate, you need to lift. Belly ache's looking at you. Granted, a small sample size, I didn't get the idea that there's probably going to be a norm. Like, his work rate was okay. There are a lot of games where he had 9-10 runs in those 80 minutes. So stepping up to NRL level, I can't see that necessarily improving. I think it doesn't change the fact in terms of the buy, but this, I'm just taking into consideration whether you start him in your 17 on certain weeks. Again, against Penrith this week, we get a look at sort of his output against a tough opposition. If he plays 80 and looks the goods, maybe he becomes a play the next week.
When's their bye? They've got a round 4 bye, don't they, Melbourne?
Yes.
Yeah, round 4. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've got to make a decision on him soon.
As a bye or as a play?
Oh, no, I won't be playing him.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be buying him, but maybe.
An interesting one, and you're in this boat. Just people who started, it's interesting because we spoke about it, you know, copious times throughout the preseason about the Vegas impact and the split round, not going with Vegas players to give you flexibility once you saw a team list. It's kind of gone a bit of both ways. Because the cheapies have been poor, some people would be happy about jumping on certain players from Vegas. But on the flip side, like someone like Chan pops up, and anyone who had like Tupanua or Wong, granted they could both be sells if they're injured long term, it just, they don't have as much flexibility in that 2RF position. So it makes, I didn't have any of them. Yeah. So I've got my 2RF free at the moment.
Well, mine's an absolute classic, for both of them. I went early on Terrell May. I'm looking at the rest of these front row forwards going sucked into
licking
the rest of you.
Lip.
That sucks. But I had Wong as well. Now I'm looking at these guys. And Wong's probably why I reckon I won't be able to get Chan.
Yeah.
Because I've already taken that one spot. So
again, it's one where, you know, he could be benched out of the team by round 2.
Yep.
So it's like, and if he does come out and kill it the first 2 rounds, one of your mid-rangers is not going to hit their strides, you go down.
Yeah.
Not a major issue.
For the Penrith Panthers, Garuva named on the wing. Great to see him in there. I'd been told that Alamotti was going to play on the sting if he was out. Alamotti not named on the extended as well. So I would assume by looking at that extended that if Taruva's out, they're going to play Peach at centre and move Talon back to the wing? Is that how you would read into that?
There's no other outside backs in the reserve. So, I mean, there's Dane Laurie, who can play fullback wing, but no, I reckon Peachy centre.
Peachy. I was going to say, even if they chuck like a Luke Garner at centre, but they'd have to move Talon May regardless.
No, it'd be Peach centre, May wing.
Yeah. Luai names Summerton at 9. I like the idea of going with Summerton this week and then moving to and then leaving him there as my nuff hooker once Kenny's back, and I think Peachy will be the 14. That's sort of what I'm leaning towards at the moment off no sleep and looking at this for 8 seconds. So stay tuned for plenty of changes, but I don't mind that idea I want a nuff out hooker.
It's like, as you know, I might have mentioned it before, I don't like the nuffing hooker idea, but for your situation, someone who seems convinced to do it, it's worked out perfectly.
Yes.
Because you want to go to, I don't think you mentioned, but you're going Appy as well, who's on the buy in round 1. So to have a big minute number 9 in Summerton, Jesus, worked out well for you.
When you, so Kat uploaded the content the other day of me talking about the Nuff Hooker thing, and I woke up the next morning hungover as balls and saw that post and saw, I think it had like 25 comments, and I went to click on the comment button. I went, no, I can't do this right now. Still haven't looked at them. Don't plan to look at them.
Don't get in this.
I'll be going in blind there. Garner on the edge, Sorensen out of this one. The bench, Peach, Smith, Liam Henry, Eisenhuth. I really like Liam Henry. I think he's going to be a real star of the future. But I think based on World Club Challenge, the minutes just aren't there like I'd hoped.
Yeah, mate, you know more about him than I do. I'm sort of just going off the team list there. And Scotty Sorensen's to come back in when he's good to go. He'll come in on the edge. Garner was on the bench in the grand final last year. He probably becomes goes to the bench. Just hard to see him getting the minutes, if at all, in the starting, in their 17.
With two first names, you can understand why Ivan doesn't trust him. Saturday, 5:30 from Combank, Parramatta and the Bulldogs. Simonson and Russell on the wings, Morgan Harper in the centres. I fucking love to see this. I think people have jumped on Harper's back a little bit too heavy over the last 12 months or so. Mm. I think he's a handy footballer. Oh, two hookers, huh? Shocked me, Bradley. I actually love it. I think it's hilarious. Good on him.
Tell you what I do like about it. A lot of very similar teams shaping up there in Supercoach.
Mm-hmm.
It's thrown a cat amongst the pigeons.
It has.
And there's a lot of diversity at number nine, and I rate that.
One hell of a cat in those pigeons.
Yeah.
Bad day to be a pigeon. I love it. I think that it's going to be very interesting what people do at hooker. I think that people are going to try and do too much at hooker and fuck it up, which is great.
Yeah. I am still to determine my starting number nine. Appy's currently in there at the moment. I think I'll be running one of Joey Lussick or Danny Levi as my reserve nine.
Yeah.
Just got to work out if I go Appy or if I pay a bit extra and try and find my way to Harry Grant. But because of the lack of cheapies that we've got, you know, the way that I structure my Supercoach team, Roo, and I want to make money. I want to increase team value. And if that means paying an extra 50 to 80 grand for someone who I think will make me 150 grand, I'm happy to do it. In which case, I'm not going to be able to get to someone like Harry Grant. I'm not going to be able to get to someone like Dylan Brown. I think the lack of cheapies is going to cost me Dylan Brown because I need to save that money that I want to spend across my squad. I'll say it right now. It's happened most other years, but this year could be as much as ever. I'll probably start slow because I'm not stacking my 17 by picking terrible cheapies. I'm okay with that. By around 5-6, I can hopefully be into that top 3,000, 2,000. But early on, it could be a slow start, but I'll be building team value and I'm more than happy with that.
Yeah, and you say it every year. It's a very good point. You start slow, you finish slow. It's good gear. Lane and Cartwright on the edges, on the bench, Matto, Joe O and Torlungi. Let's talk about him. I am very nervous about him taking minutes off Sean Lane. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he probably does. I think just because he played left edge in the trial, it's all about trials, especially when you go to a new club, it's all about building combinations. And Cardi was on the right and Torlungi started on the left edge in the second game. So I just think he probably plays anywhere from 20 to 25 minutes on the left edge and Lane plays 55 to 60.
Hate that.
Is it enough for you to antipod him?
No, I think I will. Because, mate, the other thing you got to remember is it was this time last year that Brad Arthur picked a four-forward bench and used one of them throughout the entire fucking game. Like, for all you know, he might not get on the field.
Kelmer, he can also play middle. He's a beast. Yeah. So, yeah.
There's every chance Brad Arthur doesn't use him, though.
Yeah, who knows?
Honestly, who fucking knows?
Yeah.
You got Ryan Madison there who could play 80 minutes off the bench if he wanted to. Joe O plays big minutes.
Imagine if Brad Arthur came out and everyone avoided the Eels hookers and Lussick played 80 and Hans didn't get on.
I'd love that. How funny would that be? Even better if he pulls Lussick after five and then Hans plays 75. That'd be great.
I know.
Me and Luke Summoner would be pissing ourselves laughing at all of this. It'd be great. All my Warriors hooker that played SJ Ball last week.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Blake. Okay, for the Canterbury Bulldogs, Blake Taff at one, Wild, Kiraz at centre, Drew Hutchinson in the seven, Farmacilli in the front row, Jamin Salmon at 13, the bench, Mann, Hughes, Curran and Morin. Mate, magic round last year, I was in a little skit with another betting agency where we were in a jersey that had four heads in it. That feels like the 13 jersey for the Canterbury Bulldogs. I'm not quite sure how this is all going to work. Oh, I'm really disappointed Curran's not in the 13.
Not bad for sleep deprivation, that, mate.
But tell me about it. Ones.
Oh, this pack. What a shit show. Like, well, sorry. What a shit show trying to sort out the Supercoach prospects of all of them. You can make a case for, honestly, just about everyone from 8 to 17. Maybe give or take Curtis Morin. But Curran not starting. We sat here a week ago and you said that if Curran was on the bench, you'd still be happy to pick him.
God, was that only a week ago? Fucking hell.
How do you feel about that now, mate?
Feels like a decade ago.
Might have been 2 weeks.
Oh, Vegas, Christ. I don't know. I need to have a good look at it.
Four middle forward bench. You like Maxi King, just based on ability and what we've seen in the past, I think he's the one locked into big minutes.
Yeah.
Farmacilli is dirt cheap. He's a starting prop. I don't think he'll play great minutes, but he might be the best of a very bad bunch in that four front row forward spot. Jamin Salmon, 313K. Jewel Tour, FCT Dub. I know people are keen on him. I don't think Salmon's going to have the output to score well enough. I think job security with Curran and Kurt Mann there, who could also start at 13. I don't like him. I know a lot of people are keen. Not for me.
So I was just having a very quick look. Sorry, did I just interrupt you?
No, mate, you're up.
I was just having a very quick look at some of the New South Wales Cup teams this weekend. Mm. Canterbury's is Josh Papali'i, Skelton, Hayes Perrin, Bronson Zeri, Ellie Clark, Biondi Odo and Toby Sexton is their back line.
And Connor Tracy's on the extended bench for – there was no Tracy there?
No.
If Tracy doesn't play NRL, he'll be slotting in there somewhere as well.
Liam Knight, Jake Turpin, Chris Patola as their front row.
Jeez.
The Roosters have Jared Rhea Hargraves playing for them this week. Hmm. Their side is unbelievable as well. It's going to be a wild weekend in New South Wales Cup. They've got the forward pack for the Roosters in reserve grade. Rhea Hargraves, Napa, Egan Butcher, Celesi Fichetti, who carved up the trial the other day, and Connor Watson at 13.
How can Rhea Hargraves play? He's suspended.
I have no idea, but he's been named there.
Right.
No idea how that works, but it works apparently. So Uncle Nick will take care of it, don't worry. Mate, yeah, they're extended. You've got Zeri, Sexton, Turpin, Tracy, and this young Katoga, who Kat has previously reported to us is a nice guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm never going to live this one down.
There you go.
Go to her the other day, reading through the team, and she said, "Full of shoes." I know him. I go, "Kat, what do you thought?" She goes, "Nice guy."
Well, I know that Rooks are building big on team culture and building around nice guys. So have you thought about picking him just for team culture? Big locker room guy.
Big locker room guy. Me in the locker room. Sorry about that for the headphone listeners.
For those who now don't have eardrums. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just that I had spoken to him about his current journey and where he's at, and he seems to feel like he's got more of a grasp on this team and hopefully a bit more opportunity this year. So I don't think he's a buy at this stage, but definitely keep your eye on him.
We'll be talking about him every week. Don't worry. It's one of my favourite subjects.
I'll build out a nice guy list.
Anyone else to touch on there, mate, from Canterbury?
Just Sam Hughes, who I'm more than happy to pick him. I don't know what his minutes are going to be. We had the now Canterbury Bulldog, Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs chairman, Adam Drewsy, on the podcast last night. He doesn't know how many minutes he's going to get. All that talk of potentially plugging him in as a starting front row and going really cheap there, you can't do it with those minutes because he could play 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I will still be picking him. That it.
Yeah. Outside of that, not a heap touching with that team. Shout out to Sam Hughes, the first player dropped from my draft team this year.
Oh.
Already gone.
Yeah. Had to make tough decisions. I don't carry front row forwards. brought in young Jack Cogger. A little bit of a long-term play in a comp, very short on halves, right. Timmy.
Don't hate it.
Don't hate it. Yeah, we'll see how we go. Okay, let's move to 7:35, C-Bus Super Stadium. Super Bowl stuff here. Titans v. Dragons. Keeney at one for the Titans. Kelly and Brimo in the centres. Mo Fott and Tino in the front row. Randall at nine. Did not see that coming. Huge fan of Randall. Sam Verrill's coming off the pine. Cleese Haas on the edge. This is one I didn't see coming. Sort of come from the clouds, hasn't it?
Not really.
No?
No.
Didn't the other guy start there in the trial?
Jacob Ehrlich.
Yeah.
He did. I think Haas may have started in the first trial.
Fuck, I would have gone with Ehrlich every day of the week,
yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
Bo Fermo on the other side. And Keenan at lock. What are your thoughts on him, mate? I think he's a bit of a mirage, personally.
Very interested. And I will tell you why. Firstly, because I want Terrell May in my team. Mm. So I'm basically picking a front rower who I know will be traded out within 2 weeks.
Okay.
Which is fine. So, you know, ideally you need someone that can potentially become a player, pick them, score some decent points in the meantime, hopefully build some value. If I pick Palacio at, I think he's, 365K, dual tour front row forward, starting lock, I'm not expecting the world from him, but if he gets poor minutes this week or doesn't score well, he's just an easy move to Terrell May next week at similar prices, about another 70-odd K.
Yep.
But on the flip side, as a starting lock, if he does go and get, 55, the Titans also have the bye in round two, which isn't ideal at all. But if he can get 55 to 60 minutes as a starting lock, I don't suspect he will, because Mo Fotuaika, Tino Fasulmalawi, they're starting props. They'll play big minutes, especially Tino. But if you can get the good minutes, there could be some great cash to be made and be one to hold on to for a while before an upgrade to a gun prop. Again, it's just a dud position, but realistically speaking, I'll start with, we'll get to him shortly, but I'm thinking Jason Taumalolo and Palacio playing this week. If he goes well, I hold him for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. If he goes poorly this week, I trade him to Terrell May next week. Oh, sorry, I've got a bit more on that. It doesn't read well, the more I look into it. He averaged 41 minutes last year at the Broncos for 36 points,
mm-hmm.
which isn't terrible. Like, that's fine. And look, if he can get 45 to 50 minutes and average 45 for me, that's all I want in that slot. I just think with three middles on the bench in Jolliffe, Clark and Liu, along with Verrills, who will probably go to 9, and Randall can play as a 13.
Yeah, Randall becomes a middle, yeah.
Yeah, so I just don't think the minutes are going to be there. But Palacio is currently in my team. That could easily change before the round starts. It's been a chaotic last 12 to 18 hours. But I can see myself potentially picking him for 1 week to move to Terrell May next week.
Speaking of front row forward, I am starting our official campaign of getting Josh Curran dual position this week if he comes on and plays through the middle. So, Sangster, all of you out there, this is going to be a big campaign for us because Guru's draft team desperately needs it, along with the classic players. So stay tuned for that. It is going to be punishing. All right. Mate, anything else from that Titans side for you?
No, good, mate.
What about Bo Fermo? Are you starting with him?
I am, yeah. And I actually thought that more people would have. And I was on the potty last night, had the spy and Ads DeRussi, and I sort of threw a line out as if just assuming they had him, and neither did. Do you
I've
have
got
him?
Yeah, I like him, yeah. I think I've got him.
I think left edge running off Fermor until Fifita's out is a great pick.
Oh, actually, I don't have him in at the moment, but I will. Yeah. I'll probably get him over Curran, I'd say now.
I would have been more nervous if he was on the right edge because I don't know how much ball it's going to get. But, yeah, I think massive discount coming back from injury. I think they're relatively short on edges, so I'm hoping he gets his 80 minutes. Said running off Kieran Foran, what a spot to be.
Yep, great little spot to be. Let's move to the Dragons. Sloan at one, Lomax on the sting, Flano at six, Eisenhuth on an edge with Sua. That was a weird autocorrect. I got there. Cannot read that for shit. bench for feeders there, mate. Any interest?
Nah. So I think Leilua, he had his suspension downgraded to like 1 or 2 weeks or something from 3. I'll double check that, but I think it was 1 week. He's got to come back in. He probably starts on the edge. Tommy Eisenhuth will go to the bench. I don't know if Fifita holds a spot or not. 4 forward bench. I just don't think they're minute to there, are they?
Yeah, three forward bench with a nine, but even still, I'm not interested in any Dragons.
No.
If Lomax gets into the fullback jersey, I'll have a look at him. But until then, no bueno. Sunday, last game of the week, 4 or 5 p.m. from Suncorp. Is this the game we're going to?
I said the exact same thing to him. I shouldn't be as rattled as you are. I said the same thing to Matty the water boy last night. Yeah. We're the following week.
We're next week, are we? Okay. Yeah.
How cool. Happy are you about that?
Probably for the best. Dolphins, Jack Bostock on the wing. Great to see. Is he in your squad? Has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's made his way in. I wrote on my Dolphins preview on the Playbook website about 6 weeks ago. I went through his stats. They were all pretty ordinary from last year. And I just said, not someone I'm keen on, but if we've got no seat hit up cheapies by round one and he's starting, we might have to. We've arrived there.
My eye test from the trials, I think he's made a big improvement. I reckon he'll do okay.
He looks
bigger,
grown.
Man. Yeah, he had a child's body last year.
He did, yeah. He's really looks like he's put on some weight. Like, he's won a spot there essentially over Avarillo, who signed on big money. So, yeah, I hate that he's – like, they go to Asako's edge so much, but also different halves this year. Who knows how to play out? So, again – best of a bad bunch.
Yep, happy to take him. Nikarima at 6 over Isaiah Katoa. Mate, we spoke about it in the preview a few weeks ago. Fucking this team, they got so much depth. I was really worried that Ewan Aitken was going to miss the starting side. He's missed the 17. It's wild.
After Tom Gilbert got injured and ruled out for the season, Avarillo, Wallace, Aitken, Katoa all missed the team. Jeez. Hey, I've had a lot of chat around...
Plaff?
Well, no. There's the Plath impact on Marshall King, but Raymond Stone, starting lock, 421K, averaged 40 minutes last season for 41 points per game. I don't really see it.
Yeah, Ray Stone, was it last year we were all really hyped on him?
Yeah, he started last year really cheap and minutes didn't come.
I just don't think he's a good super coach player, Raymond Stone.
Not a lot of upside in him. I also wouldn't be one bit surprised if Kenny Bromwich started at lock come game day over Stone, even like with the fact they've moved Lemuelu to the edge, not moved him there, starting on the edge and put Bromwich on the bench. Bromwich, I would assume, probably comes on as a middle. I just don't know how many minutes he's going to get.
Yeah, Maxi Plath is the other one I had a few messages about last night. I just did a little bit of Plathomatics. We've got him last year, played 30 minutes twice. Played 45-odd minutes twice last year, base 30-odd. Numbers aren't great reading there. I don't know how many minutes he'll get. I don't know how long he'll come on for. I'll be completely honest with you. I don't even know what position he is in Supercoach.
He's only available as 5'8".
Oh, that's rank.
But it's surely the question's more JMK impact, isn't it?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Didn't look into it.
But I think the question is, does he impact Marshall King's minutes? And I also do not know.
I don't like him as a hooker. I think he's a better... sort of lock forward sort of guy. But you got Ray Stone there, so I don't know what they're going to fucking do.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That'll be just a wait and see, I think.
If I was keen on Marshall King, I wouldn't let Plath's name on the bench change your decision.
Yeah, fair shout. They're extended pretty handy. J-Wall, Avarillo, Ewan Aitken, Isaiah Katoa, unreal. Let's move to the Cows. Scotty Drinkbloke at fullback. I cowered it out.
You make me so angry at times. Just when I think you're starting to show a bit of ticker. I know, you've won two Stallions in a row. You've won the last two seasons. At what point do you start backing your decisions and stop listening to me as a result? You can't win these and gloat about it and then listen to everything that I do year in, year out. You messaged me, I backflipped on drinking, I went turbo. I'm like, of course you did. Why?
You sound like such a fucking loser. It's not even funny.
Why'd you backflip then?
Money. Couldn't afford him. Had to go elsewhere. Had to buy an SG ball hooker. I ended up going, mate, I watched Turbo the captain run and how confident he was and just went, nah, I can't miss out on this.
That made me even more annoyed because I'm like, when I watched Turbo, I sat there going, he's going to average 110 plus this season if he stays fit. And Guru's on drinking. I was like, ugh.
Insane, Matt. Now that I've gone against Drinky, you know he's going to average 110.
I hope he does
for my Supercoach draft team too. That was part of my thinking. A little bit of a double jinx. Kyle Felt named on the wing. Labart in the centres. Helam Lukey on the edge. Lukey in your side?
Hell yeah.
Yep, in mine too. Locked
I do
in.
Think realistically there's every chance that Fini Fuaki spells him for 20 and he plays 55-60. I yep. hope it's 80. I've just all I've seen of Fini Fuaki has been on the edge. So
yeah.
Unless the plan is to play him in the middle, which it might be, I've only ever seen him as an edge back rower.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they do use him as a middle.
Which would be nice. Yeah. Regardless, I want Lukey.
Yeah. Have you got Lukey Rook?
I do. I've been listening, guys.
You're playing him this week?
He is on my side.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that. Very nice. Good. Bench, Granville, Fene Filiaki, Sammy McIntyre and Griffin. Name Granville. Do you reckon he plays a bit of nine or they just use him as a middle?
I was trying to work this out. Like, let's go back to last year. And he played. He's like a myth, Granville. He's always there.
He's a unicorn.
A unicorn. How many games did he play last year?
Oh, how many were there throughout the season? 27? He probably played 28, knowing fucking Granville. What, he played 24?
He played 24, well done.
Cat, my mum doesn't call me the guru for nothing, all right?
Yeah. But it's like, if I said you, what position did he play when he came on last year? What do you tell me?
Yeah, he played rugby league.
Yeah. I don't even know.
It's wild.
Because I know, like, the Robson was an 80-minute man last year, so it wasn't hooker.
Do you remember 2 years ago when they had Drinkwater and Hamiso on the squad and Granville played fullback and he was the best fullback in the squad? You're like, oh, fuck. I thought he was a front row forward 2 weeks ago.
So
he's also 39 years old or something ridiculous.
Like, he might come on and spell Robson for 15, but based on last year, there's no reason to suggest why it would.
Well, yeah, he did in the trial the other day, but I don't know if you read anything into that whatsoever being a trial. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that one plays out. McKaylee, he faded into relevance just as quickly as he faded out of relevance, missing the side there off the back of the Cohen-Hess injury. And Semi Vallabane didn't make the side either. I think he'll be putting serious pressure on Kyle Felt all year. I would have gone for Valmay personally. I think that's a bizarre one. But Kyle Felt, to his credit, scored a couple of meaties the other day, also in the draft.
Shout out to Donnie Sports for
sending
me.
No, you know what? Fuck Donnie. I don't have any time for Donnie. Blake messaged me over the weekend like a Cheshire Cat. Miss me. Can't stand
it. He sent me a message too this morning. He sent me just a screenshot of Kyle Felt at number two. And I said, I'm happy for you, Donnie.
Imagine if Valamai came in on game day and it's the last game of the round.
It would like completely fuck my draft team and I'd still be so happy just to message Donnie. It'd be unreal.
I'm with Donnie.
All right. Are we done for Teamless Tuesday?
Not quite. One more thing, mate. The Cowboys middles. We had a big chat about it last night, so I'm keen to get your thoughts. Mate, there's minutes to be won there. Leilua averaged 73 minutes last season, playing across the edge in the middle. Cohen-Hess averaged 50 minutes last season, which surprised me a lot. With their bench, you've got Granville, who is the utility, could play anywhere, probably not in massive time. Neame is a middle. McIntyre can play edge middle, but will play as a middle, you'd imagine. Fini Fuaki, who could spend time on the edge. There's supercoach relevance in this pack. But who are the big improvers minutes-wise from last season? Is it, I think Ruben Cotter's got to be one.
Bounce back.
Yeah, I think Ruben Cotter's got to be one. And is it a decent enough price? Jason Taumalolo, I know you're not keen on him. I'm one just going, you know, they missed the finals last season. They made him the year before and made a prelim final, close to a grand final. He played bigger minutes that year. Again, eye test from trial in small sample size. Wasn't great, but I'm just like, he's so cheap. He can bust tackles. He can offload. He can do all that. Where do you see the minutes from Hess and Leilua going with this team named?
Mate, I see Ruben Cotter. I don't know how many minutes he played last year, but I think he gets a little bit of an uptick.
54 per game.
Yeah, I reckon he goes up to 65 odd.
Yep.
Ruben Cotter.
Which makes him a huge buy.
Yeah, which makes him a good little option. Dual position as well. We'd love to see that. How much is Ruben Cotter? What's he at?
Cotter... He's about 5'30".
He's like mid-fives, isn't he? Yeah. Maybe Taumalolo grabs a few more minutes. I personally don't think anyone's – probably outside of Cotter gaining maybe 5 to 10 on his average. I don't feel like any of these forwards really jump out of the ground. Maybe I'm off the mark on Jason Taumalolo. He's the one that makes the most sense. I'm just – based on what I've seen from Taumalolo in the last 2 years, I think he's just a little bit past his best.
Maybe.
So he should be after what he's done over the last 8 years.
Cotter, 542K. Taumalolo's 439. And great chat last night. We spoke about it for a while, so I won't go on for too long. You can go and listen to Playbook Potty. But the way I just see it, Rue, is we need to focus on Jason Taumalolo for what he is in Supercoach for round one, not what he's compared to when he was at his best. And the fact is, he's 439K. He's in a team where there's every chance to get an extra five, tens maybe ambition, an extra 5 minutes per game. He's available at front row forward this year. He's only ever been available at 2RF, so he's dual 2RF front row forward. We know he's got upside if he's fit and firing and can get to within a smidgen of even being close to what his best is. Just a cheap front rower.
Occasionally you come up with a little nugget of gold and I'm more shocked each time, but I think it's a very good point to pick Taumalolo based on who he is and the price he's at rather than being at his fucking immortality front row forward.
And needles. I couldn't be any further from saying that it's a lock and load option. He's going to average 50 plus. He'll be a perfect upgrade to Haas or whoever it is in 5, 6, 7 rounds time. I just don't see much downside in it.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I think my front row forward, because I already had May in there and I've got Willison, obviously, so half my front row forward's already locked. I probably won't go there, but I understand where you're coming from.
Put it this way, in 2 weeks' time, there's every chance I'm going Taumalolo to Terrell May, but it's a chance I'm willing to take.
Yeah, I don't bed shit my team. I just pick the good players from the start, so that's all good. But I do think Ruben Cotter's the interesting one there. He's probably a little bit too expensive for me to punt on it because it's not safe.
Just too much, isn't it? I know, it's tempting. Just, you know, both of our thoughts on spending up in the front row and I'm like, I'm not quite spending up, but there's some cash I can save on it.
It's so, like, I felt hyper confident on Terrell May, who's played 20 first grade games, but I look at Cotter and I'm just not quite confident enough to do
Queensland
it.
Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. I was there when he, at the birth. There's just a lot to take in there. All right, let's move Timbuktu. Let's go to the captain options for this week. If I do my little nuff hooker play where I get a dud in there, I'll have a free shot at the VC. I guess we all have a free shot at the VC, won't we, with Appy, if we want to.
It's not free because, like, if you've got Summerton there as a starting hooker and you can play him, he could knock out 60 as a starting number nine, whereas your AE's probably going to get you about 15.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the way that I'm looking at it is you've got KP in the Thursday night game. Mm. I would be happy to chuck a VC on KP just in case he goes nuts and then do the loop there.
It makes it easier.
Yeah.
But, all right, how many points do you think Summerton scores this week?
I reckon he'll get 40-odd.
40. Let's say your worst bench player realistically scores 20. You cost yourself 20 points. Not the end of the world. Might even be 10 points. I need to throw it into the calculator.
Well, depending on what KP gets, though.
Well, I'm saying as opposed to if you just straight captain to KP.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I won't be straight captain here. No, that's what I'm saying. I reckon there's – because KP is such an early game this week, I reckon there's I'll be going a VC on KP.
Yeah, no, I don't mind
it. And if KP absolutely brains it, that might push me in a certain direction with my hooker.
Yeah.
What I'll do there. So KP is an option. I don't mind Greg Marcio in that game either. I know not many people will have him, but if you have gone a little pod play on Marcio, I don't mind that as a VC. Mm. Nico Hines. We've got Hines and SJ. Hines and Cleary, not ideal matchups. Two pretty good sides there. I personally think Melbourne will be up for this game with their round one record. Penrith tend to start slow coming back from World Club Challenge and whatnot. I actually prefer Hines over Cleary this week. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of it will probably come down to – I haven't looked at the forecast for New Zealand and Melbourne, but – I'd be trying to get the driest game possible. If there's any weather around, that could be the deterrent. I don't love either of them, but they're also probably the safest. I would probably lean towards Nathan Cleary, but not by much. For my personal situation, I really wanted to VC Tommy Turbo last week, but I looked at all the other captaincy options. I didn't really like any of them. I just went, KP's the obvious one. He really is. So I just went, had a strong VC on Brendan Piakura for his four because I had no other really – I didn't have any guns playing last weekend outside of Tommy Turbo. So I've got the C on Caelan Ponga.
you might be convincing me. The other options suck, don't they? You know, the other one that I actually love, and you'll laugh at this, but I reckon Drinky could have a huge game there on Sunday.
For sure.
I reckon he's a great option if you've got the balls to go.
But the other thing is, mate, with your situation and wanting to go Appy and potentially enough hooker, it can allow you to do that. Yeah. It can help you make up your mind with Appy and what you do with the number nine, because it's the first game of, you know, this weekend's action. So that plays into it as well.
I think the other options there are Dill Brown and Mitch Moses against Canterbury there. Don't mind that matchup, but I just don't think you're allowing yourself to get to those 150s if it happens to play out that way. I also think Canterbury will – I'm not expecting them to play great footy this year, but I think the early rounds, I think they'll at least be tough and sharp.
They'll have a crack. They'll be fit, ready to go. They'll be all heart. So I don't think they've got many points in them.
Yeah.
But it does mean their defence won't be all right.
Yeah. And the last one, as we said, Scott Drinkwater. I think he needs to be seriously considered in that game. And if you're going a pot of Drinky, it obviously means that you can't VC Ponga, which would hurt.
Mm.
But I like it.
I think it's a solid play as well.
Yeah. All right. Are we done and dusted?
We are, mate. We're about to throw to, I mean, I've been doing the heavy lifting while you've been away, of course, but a chat. We've got some prize presentations for last year's champion of NRL Super Beers and Breakevens, Glenn Dunn, one of the great men, North Sydney Bears member. I've got an interview with him very shortly, chatting about his journey last season. He's also an absolute gun. He finished, I think, fifth last year, the year before or something, he was about 300th or so. And then he had like another 30th place finish 3 or 4 years back. Very good. So have a bit of a chat about him, Supercoach-wise things. Have a chat with Tony from Blue Wealth back on board this season. Mate, all of that we'll be throwing to very, very shortly.
Glenn's done well. Oh. Get it, Caddy's last name's Dunn. I said Glenn's done well.
You know what? It did fly right over my head.
I thought it did.
Yeah.
Oh. Appreciate that. And the Stahl this year, big bit of gear. I love this. I don't want to give it away. I'm going to win it anyway, but if someone else happens to win it, I don't want to give it away.
When I win Supercoach this year and the Beers and Breakevens group and win $56,000, well, I was going to say I'll buy it off whoever wins it, but it'll be me, so all good.
Mate, the talk about you winning Supercoach is fucking outrageous. You can't even beat the people in this fucking room, let alone the other 160,000. Please.
Rook's never beaten me.
You've never beaten her too. Yeah. You've never beaten anyone in this room in the last 2 years, mate.
Bloody beat you when I meet you in the hallway after the show.
How good. All right, yeah, Blue Wealth Property guys, link is in the description, and we're going to throw that interview now.
It's going in now, mate.
How good. Away. Glenn Dunn, Tony, some of the greats. Make sure you go follow Kat Haddad on Instagram. What about the debut last night asking for questions?
Yeah, it was good. There's some really funny questions that have come through. So
some good ones.
If you're watching this, then definitely check out The Late Show as well. That will be fast-paced. It'll be a little different to this. But, yeah, episode 2, and I think people loved episode 1, so I'm excited.
How good. Beautiful. We'll see you tonight on The Late Show. Here's Glenn Dunn. He's done good.
Hello and welcome to Beers and Breakevens for round one of the NRL Supercoach season. I am your host, Tim Williams, today. My co-host, look, the minute he got in today, he was better looking. He was more switched on between the ears. Just all in all, a better bloke. And the reason being is that the rugby league guru has not arrived yet. He's on his way back from Vegas. I think he's at Sydney Airport as we speak. Thank God we've got Tony from Blue Wealth Property. Tony, welcome back to the show, mate.
G'day, mate. That's quite the wrap. Yeah, I'll consider the guru a pretty good-looking bloke, so if I'm better looking than him, I'm doing all right.
Well, mate, it's not a tough act to follow, filling in the shoes of the rugby league guru, who's already had some Barry Crockers over in Vegas with his Supercoach team. He still owns Xavier Wilson. We'll get to that shortly. Mate, how have you been?
I'm well, mate. I'm well. What about the guru following him in Vegas? He went from high energy, started at a 10, ended up at a 1. Was just gold to watch.
Dropped a notch with every day of the week, the Roo did.
I'm well, mate. Yeah, really good. Really good. Excited for the footy. I know all the superlatives have been used for the Vegas experiment, but, mate, how good. I can't wait till the doggies are over there, because when the dogs go, I'll be going.
Straight over.
Yep, straight over.
Mate, let's get straight into your beloved Bulldogs. And in terms of in listening time, the guru will be here in about anywhere from about 5 to 10 minutes time on the podcast. We also have last year's Beers and Breakevens champion, Glenn Dunn, on the podcast, North Sydney Bears diehard. A little presentation on that shortly. We're also going to have a quick little chat to him about his season. But before we get to Glenn and we get to, God forbid, the guru, I don't know what version of him is going to turn up. It'll be exciting, mate.
It'll be tired.
Yeah, it'll be tired. The Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, you could be their biggest fan, and I've met some diehard doggy supporters. But let's talk Supercoach, because they are one of the most relevant Supercoach teams to start the season. There's genuinely about 10 different players in that team who could be terrific round one buys. I do not feel confident on any of them. Straight off the bat, which Doggies players are you starting with, mate?
I had King Kiraz from day one. Mm. And then when he got named at centre, I pulled him out. Mm. So I'm a bit nervous about that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people did that with Garrick as well and then were spewing about it. So that's a bit of a worry. I know a lot of people are excited about Hutchison starting at seven, but I just don't think he's a Supercoach relevant player. And if his job is to steer the team around, he's probably not going to be making – he's probably not going to get many attacking stats. Mm. I hope he proves me wrong. I'm a Sexton fan, so for me I feel like Sexton offers a
bit – I am too, mate.
I reckon he offers a bit more. For me, honestly, all respect to Hutcho, I feel like he's a lot like Flano. Mm. Yeah? He's not – doesn't have too much pace, doesn't have – like Flano did that kind of job. Played that kind of role.
It's not even
not quite sure.
It's not even a knock on Hutcho. I think Hutcho looked quite good in the trials.
Yep.
He's one of the most versatile players in the competition. A great defender. I hope he kills it. I just rate Toby Sexton as a footballer, and I think he's worth persisting with for at least, you know, 6 to 12 weeks.
Agreed. And full preseason next to Birdo. You know, he had a few pretty good games last year. He takes the ball to the line. He's a bit of a threat. You know, I'm not Cameron Serrato, so let's leave and we'll reserve our judgment until we've had a few games. But
mate, let's try and get inside the head of Cameron Serrato, the Doggies coach, the forwards. We're lacking genuine front row forward cheapies. That and hooker are just massive problem areas for our Supercoach team to start the season. Pauaso Faamasili has been named to start for them. Sam Hughes, one of the most popular cheapies in the game, is off the bench. It's a four-forward bench, a four-middle-forward bench at that. Not ideal.
Yep.
Jamin Salmon, 313K, dual 2RF CT dub, starting at lock. Josh Curran, a really popular preseason pick, has been named off the bench. Talk to us about these blokes. You've also got Maxie King there, who the bench isn't great for, but Maxie's the only one that I'm going, he's got good minutes. He's going to play good minutes. Yeah. How do you see all this unfolding?
I reckon they're going to be forced to play a different style of forward game, you know, a bit more mobile, a bit more agile. You know, you've got we're smaller across the board. My son Joseph's big on Max King. That's his starting forward, starting prop. I've got Salmon in my CT dubs. I reckon he's priced at a 30-odd average and I think he'll exceed that. And I reckon they've played a four-forward bench and I think he's going to be the utility.
Yeah.
So they're starting him at lock, but he can play lock, he can play on the edge, he can play in the centres, he can play at 5'8". So
I mentioned Hutcho being versatile, Jamin Salmon.
How good did he look? Yeah. How good did he look in that trial?
Yeah.
He's got lovely hands. Like, I haven't really ever watched him play. I haven't seen much of him because at Penrith he played, you know, not that many minutes.
Mate, he went from being a half, as far as I know, like a 5'8 through all his juniors, spent time, I think, at centre at the Panthers. Then he made the move to the forwards as an edge back rower. Now he's playing lock.
Yeah. So I think I know Gus rates him and I think I'm hoping they've got some sort of plan in the forwards. That's going to bring something a little bit different because let's face it, if they do what the traditional game does and that's, you know, big guys up the middle, we're just going to get rolled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to have a different sort of plan.
Yeah. Exciting year for you ahead. No matter what, mate, really looking forward to what unfolds at the Doggies this season. Now, we're very grateful, Guru and I, Beers and Break Evens, for the support you've given us for a few years now, ongoing each and every year. But I think the biggest winners out of it are the Beers and Break-Even listeners because you put up a monster cash prize for our unlimited group last year. Mate, you're doing so again in 2024.
We are, mate. We are. We love our association with you boys. And, you know, we're a small business. We celebrated 15 years. We turned 15 years in January. And I know what it's like when you're trying to build a business, you know. And at the end of the day, you guys are building a business here. You provide us content. I know how much joy you bring our household. So Benjamin and Joseph and I love it and we, you know, reflect on it and swallow up the content. SC Playbook, Rugby League Guru. And I think there's some value in that and certainly there's a community around us of family and friends who benefit from it. So, yeah, just our way of giving back, mate. We love rugby league. Anything we can do to support rugby league, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, mate, we pretty do really, really appreciate it. And I know the listeners do as well. $5,000 up for grabs, courtesy of Blue Wealth Property, to the winner of the Beers and Breakevens Unlimited group this season. The code for that will be up on screen. I will read that out later on, Kat. We'll get there shortly. Guru and I also chip in 500 each, so it's a $6,000 first prize. Make it officially the second biggest prize you can win if you play NRL Supercoach. Now, mate, we sit here each week and we have a bit of a chat, Guru and I, about Blue Wealth Property, what you can offer. Mate, we're dribblers. Yep. You're the boss. You're the expert. What can you offer the listeners out there who are thinking about getting in touch?
I think the most important thing that we offer, and, you know, I've got 25 staff, and I think probably when someone becomes a client, the thing that they love the most is the love and service and support that they get from the team. But for those who aren't already clients of ours, I think the most important thing we offer is education, mate. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the things that attracted me to you guys. There's a lot of synchronicity between Beers and Breakevens and Blue Wealth. Yeah, you're educating the listener and guiding them to make good decisions, and that's what we're doing in property. And we're entering what our head research analyst Gavin calls a Goldilocks period for property, because anyone who knows anything about property knows there's a massive shortage, which is reflected in the vacancy rates. You know, the renters are just getting killed everywhere in terms of the rental increases right across the country. And that will be followed by capital value increases, so increases in prices. As soon as you see an interest rate fall, which will be this year, we'll probably have 2 or 3 interest rate falls this year. The data's pretty clear on that now. Prices are going to rise. And what we're trying to do is get our clients into the market as soon as possible to take advantage of that. So get yourself educated. Had a great meeting yesterday with a young bloke, you know, late 20s, saved up a lot of cash. You know, ethnic background, you know, the old, I'm going to buy a home and live in it and whatever.
Yeah.
And by the time we'd finished the conversation, he was rent vesting. So he bought a house in Western Melbourne, you know, high 700s, brand new 4-bed, 2-bath, 2-car, you know, fastest population growth in the country. And I showed him how the numbers work a hell of a lot better if he stayed put where he is and rented instead of buying buying an occupier. And, you know, that's that rent vesting thing that you know a lot about these days, mate.
My favourite word in the English dictionary is rent vesting. Guru's is webinar. We know
Guru
that.
Loves
he goes
webinar.
On about it each and every
week.
Well,
guess what, mate? Tonight there is a rent vesting webinar. What about that?
How's the timing? Huh? Not even planned.
What about that?
Where's that?
It's a webinar. It's online.
Got me.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll have the link to that in the description of the YouTube following the show, as well as future links to any webinars you've got on. So as you said, Tony, it's all about education. Reach out to Tony and his team at Blue Wealth Property. Steer you in the right direction. Mate, thank you as always for coming on the show.
My pleasure, mate. Looking forward to another great Supercoach season.
Let's go. A very warm welcome to the show. Last year's Beers and Breakevens champion, Glenn Dunn, proud coach of Here Come the Bears. Glenn, welcome, mate.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me, mate.
No, appreciate you coming in of a nice chilly Wednesday morning for the Beers and Breakevens show. Mate, let's get straight into business. You've achieved what every super coach wants to do. All right, it might not have been first place, but you finished 5th overall, first in the Beers and Breakevens group, and you're up the pointy end of the rankings for the majority of the season. Just talk us through that ride and being in with a shot at winning it in the back end of the season. Enjoyable?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I got into the top 10 probably with 10 weeks to go. So I thought I was a little bit of a shot, but you don't dare to dream, so to speak. But yeah, look, getting into that last week, I thought I was a real chance, but when team list came out, that was really disappointing.
Diabolical.
I think I was the only one who had Reece Walsh and Katoa in the top 10. So they were my pods. Mm. And I thought that might have been enough, but they didn't get named.
And, mate, you're not a one-hit wonder. We spoke before coming on the show today and you mentioned, obviously, 5th last season. A couple of years ago, you finished 30th. You had a finish of, was it 300th or
300th last year. Yep.
Yeah, 300th last year. So some really big finishes consistently in recent years. We all know there's a lot of luck that goes into Supercoach and doing well. Let's say Brendan Piakoura, for one example, lasting all of about 3 minutes for 40% of owners on the weekend. Brendan will bounce back. Don't you worry about that, Supercoaches.
Right.
But, mate, with consistent finishes like that, you know, everyone who has those consistent finishes, I just want to know what ticks for your team? What structures do you use going on each year? I know, like, for my side, and it's particularly relevant on a team like this year with some pretty poor cheapies out there, I'm happy to spend up a bit more for some more mid-rangers who I know will create team value long-term. I start slow. Guru each season puts a blindfold on, throws darts at a dartboard and gets wherever it lands, and sometimes it pays off for him. What do you do?
Yeah, look, I think you can get caught up in the numbers too much, and particularly when it comes to cheapies. I mean, you've got to trust your eye. Some of these guys just aren't going to spit out the points that you need, you know. So that's probably the main thing I look at.
Yeah. And, mate, to put you certainly on the spot here a little bit, but any highlight moments for you last season, any standout moments that either propelled you, were there any big pods in your team that skyrocketed up the rankings? Were there any absolute stinkers that sent you down the rankings that, that come to mind?
No, my plan last year was to get as many left wingers in my team as quickly as possible. So that was Garrick, Marzu, Madalino. I already started with Toto. So I got to those five like within about 8 or 9 weeks, and that was massive because they all had big years. I was lucky enough to VC Garrick on his, 190? So, you know, you've got to have that sort of luck along the way. You know, and I probably escaped a few HIAs as well. You just got to have all that luck along the way.
Yeah. And going into the 2024 NRL Supercoach season, mate, we know the popular guys. We know Nicho Hynes. We know Nathan Cleary. We know Kalen Ponga. Are there any sort of – are you going with any pods to start the season? Any sneaky ones you've got for us?
No, I'm not doing anything too silly, although – I haven't landed on my second halfback yet. I'm starting with Cleary. Not sure about Hynes yet. I just not sure about the Sharks pack.
Interesting.
Yeah, when I saw it announced last night, I just don't like it. So, yeah, I might go against Hynes, I think, which will free up plenty of cash.
So if you do, who are the options that you're looking at?
Oh, maybe SJ for a month. They got a nice draw, and I liked what I saw with the Warriors in the trials.
There you go, a sneaky little antipod against Nicho Hynes to start the season.
I'm starting with Roger. I liked what I saw there. I think he's got a lot to prove. You know, he's coming into a team where they had a big year last year, so he's not going to come in and want to let his teammates down. So I think he's got a lot to prove.
And the other one there, mate, I mentioned earlier, but the hooking debacle.
Oh, how tough is it?
The set, Brad Arthur, liar. He's not an honest man. He said he wanted to play a sole 80-minute hooker for us in the preseason. It hasn't happened. Joey Lusick named to start. Brendan Hands on the bench. That has had, will have, I should say, such an enormous impact on Supercoach teams because so many wanted to plug him in as their second number nine. We're all now void of any genuinely decent, cheapy hookers. What are you doing with your hooking position?
Yeah, I've changed it about 10 times in the last three days. At the moment, I think I'm going to run Robson. I'm banking on a sort of like a Cowboys bounce back, if you like, this year, and Levi on the bench, but no confidence.
It's slim pickings,
mate. It is slim pickings. I mean, Harry Grant's the wise option, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to find the money to get Harry Grant, but it's getting tougher these cheapies. Yeah. Hey, mate, thanks for joining us on the show today. You've got a check to collect, so we'll move you over to Tony.
Fantastic.